TV Campfire Podcast.
Have you seen it yet? OMG.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken record.
Oh, no! We're fans.
It just goes up from there.
Oh! All right, we got to a whole different level.
No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
She is the most useless one-dimensional character ever.
Premiere of Spartacus.
Vengeance.
Welcome to the show.
This is podcast number 104, and I am Libby, your host. And this week, I come to you on the road from Anaheim at WonderCon. And I am joined by the Wheatonopolis / Sci-Fi gang, and they're all here together, and there are too many people here for me to introduce, so everyone say hello!
Hello!
That was awesome. All right, we're
going to... And there's
pizza. And there's pizza in the room, so if you hear people chewing, excuse that. First thing we're going to do is the news, and the first bit of news that I have is that the show Luck on HBO was canceled because they kept killing horses, which is a really bizarre reason for a show to be canceled.
Didn't they self-cancel?
Because they kept
killing damn horses.
They kept killing horses.
The third horse died.
Right.
Do you mean really?
Yes.
Because it's a race. It's about race horses, and and as they were racing the horses kept dying.
And not incidentally, the show sucked.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that. I couldn't get through the first episode.
And unfortunately, though, there are people in the race world that know that in the race world, thoroughbreds die for all sorts of crazy reasons. They're really high-strung animals, and they'll rear and kick their heads, and they'll break their legs, and they break down on the racetrack all the time. It's extremely common.
Yeah, but shooting in a TV industry, show is not a good reason.
Yeah. In an industry, that was.
I heard on NPR, like, 1 in 1,000 race horses, one every 1,000 races. How many races were they doing it? They already had
three that got killed.
In
right.
one season of a show.
Right, yeah. So that was too much, and so they canceled themselves. Other piece of news is that Grimm has been renewed.
Woo!
I'm kind of equal. It's on. I'll keep watching it. I'm not going to stop watching it. But if it hadn't been canceled, I wouldn't have cared either. But okay, sci-fi show gets renewed. That's good-ish. All right.
It's people from the Whedonverse. Since we're always so worried it's going to be canceled again. It's nice when they have a show that gets renewed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
When they get a second season, especially.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
True.
All right. So, last bit is that CBS actually renewed like 15 shows
18.
In one go. It was 18?
18 shows.
18 shows in one go, and they said it's actually easier to say which shows weren't renewed, which was the CSI spinoffs. So, like, the New York and the
Miami.
Both have not been renewed yet, and
Unforgettable. So.
Yeah, Unforgettable has been renewed, and maybe one other show. But, like, their lineup is doing so well, they're just like, yeah, we just got, like, 3-4 shows we're just not going to bring back.
Yep.
It's so crazy. That's all I have. What about you guys? Anybody else got some news?
No. We're only at a convention.
Yeah, I was about to say. There's convention news, which we'll deal with when we get to the convention part.
Yeah.
It's hard to hear real news when you're at the convention.
That's true, too.
Yeah. So, also, I will ask your forgiveness because I've been at the convention since Friday night, so therefore I have not seen the Friday night shows, which some people have seen, and so they're grumbling at me, but I refuse to be spoiled, and I can't go anywhere because I don't have a room to go to, so we're not going to talk about those. We'll talk about those next week.
You could go out on the balcony.
Thank you.
And by balcony, we mean sheer drop 12 stories.
Details.
All right, we're going to start this off with the Walking Dead finale. Well, not finale.
No.
Sorry.
Penultimate episode.
Penultimate, where they kill the second major character in a row.
About freaking time.
I thought I was watching Oz. Twice in a row? What show is this?
That was awesome.
I'm gonna cut you.
That doesn't go very far with zombies.
So,
I thought it was really interesting because people who've read the comic book, Shane dies in issue 6 of the comic book, which should have been first season.
Yeah, he died so early on in the comics.
And this is ending season 2 in the show. And I was wondering, are they going to have the kid kill him, which is what happens in the comic book?
Yeah.
And they split. They had it both ways.
Yeah.
You know, Rick kills human Shane. Carl kills zombie Shane.
I do feel like they copped out a little.
Actually,
they had their cake.
Actually, in the comics,
too.
That's reversed. Carl kills human Shane. Rick kills zombie Shane.
Oh, they reversed? Really?
Oh, interesting. Oh.
Yeah, because in the comics, what happens is they kill... Carl shoots Shane. They bury Shane. They figure he's just dead. And then they leave and start going down the road. And they kill somebody. Somebody else dies, but not from a zombie bite. But they come back as a zombie, and suddenly they realize, oh my god, you don't need to be bitten by a zombie to become one. And so Rick says, does that mean? And, like, just gets on a bike, goes back to where they buried Shane, and sure enough, Shane is digging himself out of his grave.
Does that mean Abraham Lincoln is going to come back as a zombie?
Oh, we should only hope.
What was so beautiful about it was, for a moment, neither we or Rick knew whether the sun was trying to shoot him.
Yeah. Right?
That was what was beautiful. It looked like the sun was going to shoot him for killing Shane.
Well, I didn't really believe that.
Well, no.
That's how it looked.
For a second, it looked that way. But as soon as Shane came up, I knew he was aiming at Shane.
Yeah, because they kept cutting away to Shane, so you could see what the kid was looking at.
I know, but I just thought that was a nice bit there.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, though. Josh brings up the point that now we know for sure that you do not have to be bitten to become a zombie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
well, there's some speculation about that for a while, that's what the CDC guy was whispering.
Right.
And we're going to find out for sure in the finale tomorrow.
Well, we already did find out.
No, the finale, we're going to tell us definitively what the CDC
guy told him.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay. Dun, dun, dun.
Yep. So, very good episode of Walking Dead.
Woo!
Yes. Oh, yes.
All right, let's move on and talk about Once Upon a Time.
Yes.
That's what I said. But someone said it was great. Allison,
go
ahead.
I actually liked it. I actually thought that it was certainly better than the week before, because I thought that it introduced something that's been missing from this show for a while, which is the fact that fairy tales include horror.
Yeah.
They include an element of bloodthirstiness.
Uh-huh.
And this reminded you that that's an element in fairy tales.
And not only that, but it actually had a good twist at the end.
And I really appreciated the twist, because I was thinking Grandma.
Yeah.
After she showed those scratch marks on her arm, I'm thinking, that's Grandma.
Yeah.
And then it turned out, to be Red.
Yeah.
And so that went, that's the first time you've surprised me, show.
Yeah. This episode was written by Jane Espenson,
Exactly.
But then the one twist, though, with that is that with the... The one twist with that is that with the grandmother, she was there, like, with the knife or the bow, whatever, sort of at the door. So why was she there if she knows it's her...
She was putting a show. She had even told her daughter that the cape was to protect her from the wolf, when actually the cape stopped her from becoming a wolf.
In a sense, that's right. It protected her from the wolf.
It did,
being taken over by.
Right, but she.
It's like Obi-Wan Kenobi, what I told you was true from a certain point of view.
She's putting on a show.
The only thing that bothered me on the show was when back in the storybook world, when they're trying to figure out who's killed the girl, the woman, the wife that ran away or whatever. Mm-hmm. What I didn't like was all of a sudden the fingerprints are Mary Margaret's, and I just thought that was so ridiculous, because I don't know. I know it's not Mary Margaret. I know she didn't do it. And it seems silly and a red herring and very obviously not the truth, and they're not going to go down that road.
Right.
Why are we wasting our time?
Okay.
Well, it's a show, because it's a setup and it's a frame, and it's like no one has really caught on that the mayor really is evil and really is setting a lot of things into motion.
Right.
And at some point in time, that's going to come back to bite her when they finally figure it out, because her thing is well, how good is the sheriff? Is she going to follow the evidence? And she can show her up. I mean, because if she refuses to arrest Mary Margaret, she shows her up in front of the whole town. Look, she's got this evidence, and she's not doing her job.
Right.
So it forces her. So she's basically forcing Emma's hand. She's framing Mary Margaret, because she can't frame David. I mean, she tried that, so now it's Mary's turn. It's like that. But it's all being orchestrated by her. She doctored the phone record.
Yeah.
I mean, everything. So there's lots of things being doctored. So it's just, it's sooner or later she's going to realize that the...
Yeah, it stands to reason, but it is one of those things where it's like, ugh, we all know where this is going. Yeah.
Right, that's what I just felt like, that bothered me, because I really felt like, come on, do we have to waste our time with this?
My major problems with the show are this. One, the men in Storybrooke, aside from Mr. Gold, are just so stupid.
They really are.
Number two, Fairy Tale,
they don't know who they are.
Fairy Tale Land is much more compelling than Storybrooke, and for this show to work well, they need to both be equally compelling.
Yes.
Well, my problem with the show is that everyone, not just the men, everyone except for the Evil Queen and Mr. Gold are stupid.
But they're under a curse.
They're under a curse, but they're also stupid.
Right, but that's part of the curse.
They're under a curse that's where they don't know their identity, so they're not complete people.
But Emma's not
under the curse, and she's still done stupid stuff.
That's true.
The thing is, they all behave incredibly dumb.
Well, understand, guys. Let's end it with, that's why we don't like the show.
That's not how I want to end it.
I do like
the show. Jane Espenson, if you listen to this podcast, we love you.
Thank you. I like the show.
Just make the characters smarter.
I want it to get better. I do. Yes. And there are parts of the show that I really, really like. But like they were saying, the part where you're in Fairy Tale Land is really enjoyable. But sometimes when you're actually in Storybrooke, it's kind of like, really?
You're marking time till you go back to the flashback.
Part of me is like, I'm waiting for this show to break out.
Thank you. Okay. And can we all just agree that Rumpelstiltskin is the most compelling character?
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. So much done. Yes. All right. Next show we're going to talk about is Alcatraz.
Yay.
I'm behind on this one. But go ahead. I don't care if I'm spoiled.
Go ahead. Somebody.
This
talks?
Was the one with the cook, right? This was the cook.
Yeah. This was interesting because the premise was it was an innocent man who went to Alcatraz. And everybody assumed he was guilty, except at some point the warden figures out that he is innocent, and they want to do an experiment to find out if they can turn a person who's innocent into a murderer.
Well, they kind of did a Manchurian Candidate.
Right, so they did the whole taping his eyelids open and then programming him to believe that he actually killed the person he was accused of killing.
So he starts replicating it.
Yeah, so that he wants to do it again. And it was
Let's not do like a retrial or anything like that.
Yeah, it was just crazy. So now that he's out, he's killing women exactly how the woman that was killed that he actually didn't kill. So it's really bizarre. But then he also realizes that they've made him into a monster and that he wasn't like that before. So he asks his friend to kill him at the end. Which was a different kind of story. And I thought it was actually more compelling because of that.
I do like it when they take the story in like a little bit of a different direction. Like that one episode a few weeks back when they had a guard come back.
Right.
Yeah.
But I thought that was an interesting and unique spin on it. But, I mean, okay, from what you've described from this episode, can we just finally, like, have everybody admit the warden is evil?
I think we know that. The warden is absolutely...
The second in command is evil?
The one thing that did finally clear up some things in this episode for me was how much the doctor does and does not know, because it's been bugging me so much about this.
Yeah, because he's in the present.
That he's in the present, and it's been obvious that he's been drawing all this blood, and he's been acting, you know, like, ooh, he's the big evil guy. But at the same time, he's in the present and acting like, well, but I don't know what's going on, and, you know.
And they
contradict each other. And so, and finally, in this episode, it's been made clear that, yeah, he's been charged with drawing all this blood, but at the same time, that's where his understanding of what's going on ends. The warden has not been letting him in on the big plan beyond that point.
Right.
And I'd like to know if there really was gold down there, or if there was something else in that room.
I think we're wrapping up Alcatraz. This episode, I would just say that, strangely, when they have a really good villain, the show's really good.
That's strange.
Well, because usually you get attached to the reoccurring character, whoever the star is. But this show, I found that the lead is kind of bland, and
she's very bland.
But that happens a lot too. Villains are often the most dynamic. Look at Batman.
Well, I'm saying the show is not Batman. But I mean, every week,
she is not Batman.
No.
And Jorge Garcia,
she's not Batman because I'm Batman.
Jorge Garcia's character is much more.
He's interesting. He is interesting. But I don't know. I sort of feel like he's a little bit too much of like an Alcatraz Google, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Every time they bring up a picture of somebody, he's like, "Oh, that's that person."
But he also reacts really normally, or you know, the way the rest of us would react when you walk into a scene where there's a dead body, and his reactions, it's like he's the everyman.
Maybe the first couple of times, but at this point, he's got to be a little desensitized.
All right, so thumbs. I think this episode was really thumbs up. It's a very good episode of Alcatraz. Okay. Hopefully, they'll figure out what to do with their lead. I don't know what. But moving on.
Next thing we want to talk about is Justified. And this was, this isn't the penultimate. We still
got a few episodes to go.
I have to say, Justified has just been, it's just been on. Right? And this week we finally get Quarles and Limehouse and like all the big bad guys are all coming together with their plans. And it's like finally Raylan has like, he's seeing the big picture. He's seeing who's connected to who and who's talking to who and which bad guys are aligned with which ones. And he's letting his cards out and letting them know, I know what you guys are doing.
I also like the fact that Boyd, you know, this is also the one where he sat there and he told Boyd, are you the one that's letting out that I'm, you know, like in your pockets like that? And Boyd's like, no. And if anything's, I'm in yours. How he finally said, I may be on this side of the law and you may be on that side of the law. But in the end, we're both Harlan County boys. And I like that because we know that's sort of where it's going in the end, and it's going to be the Harlan County boys against the Detroit.
But you see, it was so cool. Like
the carpetbaggers.
But you see, the cool thing is, like, when he said that, like, it pretty much just, like, registered immediately with Raylan that it was Quarles.
Yeah.
Now, also, I liked how Boyd was originally not supposed to have horse.
Right.
I always forget her name.
Ava.
Ava now. I love how after the botched robbery, and we got one person who dies in the van, and the pimp goes, oh, let's throw her in the slurry, and then he shoots the other one. The third one has enough sense, and I like that in this writing, that the women aren't stupid women. She had enough sense.
Even drawn out.
Damn right. She took off, and she went to Ava. And at first, you're not sure. Wait, Ava would never turn somebody back like that. She never, ever would. But instead, she makes him and the girl think that she's going to turn her in for $2,000, and then she shoots him.
And takes the money!
She actually gave the money to the girl to get out of town, and I was nicely done.
Yeah.
Nicely played.
Now, and there's goodbye. There's going to be a vacuum, as she says. And he goes, but you said no horse. And she said, no, you no horse. We now know that she is going to be the new madam of that territory. And those girls are not going to get slapped around.
Nope.
Right. No, but Ava does know how to do the steel fist. As we saw.
And she knows how to shoot men who cross her.
Guy she hit with a frying pan upside down? Ava's no joke.
And she killed Boyd's brother.
Yes,
right. That's the way it started off.
Ava's been hardcore since day one.
Right.
Yes. She has.
Well, what about her and Raylan, though?
Yeah.
Raylan made a move on her, right? Yes.
You know?
But he didn't make a serious move because he's not going to go. Because Boyd,
he's not going to.
He knows better.
He was like, I guess he doesn't quite realize how much he's participating in Boyd's life. Because he's like, you know what Boyd is, right? So he's like warning her off. He still cares enough about her to warn her off and stuff like that.
But it's a little late, though.
I don't think he realizes. I don't think he knows.
I think you're right.
A willing participant.
But in addition to that, remember, he's now lost his wife again. Thank God.
Yes.
She's such a user.
I just hope Winona is gone for good this time, really.
Natalie Zea is doing another pilot, so that seems to imply she won't be coming back for season 4.
Fine, good. As long as she's gone forever.
But that's the thing. Raylan's heart is broken, and the last time his heart was broken,
he went to Ava.
He went to Ava.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So many thumbs up on Justified. I'm so glad it got renewed.
How awesome was it on an election Tuesday, Boyd's political speech?
Awesome!
I put on my Facebook page, Boyd Crowder for president.
Oh, yes. That was actually pretty good. Oh,
and I also need to say, I love that Jim Beaver is on the show now.
Yes. It looks like he's going to be the new sheriff.
Yes!
That's going to be great.
I am so psyched.
So, okay.
And Quarles, oh my gosh, his thing when he realizes everything is falling apart. I mean, and he doesn't even have a boy to go beat up because he's in his car.
Yeah.
And you're just like, he's like beating up the car.
Is Justified filmed
in
Canada?
No.
So Jim Beaver moved?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or they moved to Canada, I think.
Their dollar is stronger.
Jim lives in LA.
Jim has always lived in LA.
He's
filmed
in Canada.
Yeah, but he lives in LA.
Okay, we're going somewhere else here.
Yeah.
All right, so thumbs up, Justified.
Yes.
Next up, we're going to talk about the return of Community.
Woo!
Finally. Well, Community ironically, this episode is like Return to Normal or Almost Normal or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's like all the characters trying to pretend to be normal people. Which is...
Well, it's really Troy and Abed who try to be normal.
Right.
And their idea of normal is... Yeah.
Although I did love like their whole like, okay, we just need to have a 24-hour weird fest and get all the weirdness out of us.
That was so scary. Like, are you like, what did they do in that room?
They didn't show us anything. Which, like,
I'm glad they didn't, though.
Yeah.
that's really true. Because like, whatever they were doing in that room, it would never have lived up to what we imagine in our minds.
That's true. So then they get in suits and they're very, very serious and very, very stoic, and it's strange.
Just throws everybody off. Yeah, I loved how, what's the husband's name? Serious.
Wait, say it again.
They were getting in more trouble by being serious than they do when they're not.
Exactly.
Because everybody thought that they were joking.
What's the husband's name? Malcolm Jamal Warner?
I call him Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Yeah, pretty much it's just Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Just call him the Cosby Kid.
Like, every time they would say something to him, he would be like, stop being sarcastic. You need to walk away.
What was great, I liked his marriage proposal. Like, that marriage proposal was
nice.
Great.
That was cool. Nice. That was funny.
You get 20 points for that. And what's great, I interviewed Shirley, Yvette Brown.
Yes.
I interviewed her, and she talked about that scene, and she was like, oh, maybe that wasn't my interview. That wasn't my interview.
That wasn't me.
Yeah.
Your interview was after I shoved you.
Thank you. But she basically told Malcolm, like, right before they did the take, she was like, I want you to give me the most romantic thing I've ever seen in my entire life. No pressure. And she said it lived up to it. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. And then, you know, they did the whole fight, but I liked how they made up, so that actually really worked.
And I loved, I cannot remember her name, Britta and...
And Annie.
No, not Annie, the guy.
Jeff.
Jeff and Britta getting drunk and trying
to get almost getting married.
But the best part was Britta's amazingly unnatural talent.
As a flower arranger. That was great.
I'm like, I want her to do my wedding.
Yeah, really.
That was awesome, because completely unexpected for her. I had no idea where they're going
to go. That was so random, right?
It was really random, and I just love how like she just sort of like falls into like this deep abyss of shame. It's like, oh, I'm so good at making weddings, I guess I do need to get married.
But I have a question. This is me, because Peter, who is not here for this particular podcast, accuses me of not understanding Britta and Annie, and I just think I just don't like them. I don't know if it's necessary that I don't understand them or not. I find them uninteresting, except that when I enter the actresses are great.
Yeah.
So it's not them. It's the character. I don't know. They just don't connect with me.
Oh, interesting.
I find that Britta and Annie have many moments, but as overall characters, yes, they're not as interesting, especially when you got Troy and Abed in the room.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. So, all right.
But yeah, that whole thing with Britta and Chang that was going on for a while,
that got weird and annoying.
Yeah.
Anything with Chang gets weird really fast.
A little Chang goes a long way.
No, Chang wasn't in this episode.
No.
Not there, which was fine with me.
Which is odd because of his connection with Shirley.
Exactly.
Well, what was good was that Dean was upset he didn't get invited to the wedding.
That's right.
Oh, Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase.
His whole business thing. Yeah. It was pretty good. That was a good
Yeah,
story.
Like, I liked how it all sort of tied back to how he's basically been let go from his company.
Right, but they gave him lots of money, so there's that.
They gave him lots of money, so now he needs to do something with it.
Does Chevy Chase with his hair comb like that look a little bit like Dick Cheney?
A little bit.
Yeah.
That kind of freaked me out.
Purpose. Like...
Okay, and the stinger for this episode with Chevy Chase with the frozen yogurt machine.
What was that about?
That was so random.
I just feel like he was trying to do a Clark Griswold moment.
I don't know what was going on.
It was so random, and it was so something I could see Clark Griswold doing.
It was just strange.
I was just like, turn the machine. I was like, dude, walk away from the machine. It took him like 10 minutes to walk away from the machine. Thumbs up for Community. Thank you for coming back. We really appreciate the show.
Yay.
And everybody keep watching it.
Six seasons in a movie.
And don't Brit it. Best verb ever. All right, next up we're going to talk about Awake.
Yay.
And Allison has been chomping at the bit, so go for it.
Okay, well, actually, I've been really, really thumbs up with Awake ever since it started. But actually, with this episode, it's kind of gotten to the point where it's starting to tax my patience.
Oh, no.
I know. I've been such a cheerleader for this show, and I still am for Jason Isaacs because I think he's just brilliant.
She thinks he's dreamy.
And
he is, and he's super sweet.
Oh, Jason Isaacs.
See?
Somebody just woke
up. Another woman of taste.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't count that you like a show because you will watch anything that man does. He's the male Mae West. He could read a phone book, and then you'd all go, ooh.
Yes.
Wait. Let her talk plot. Go for it.
But see, that doesn't mean necessarily that the show he's in is going to be fantastic, because I sat through Brotherhood for that man, and I fast-forwarded through every scene he was not in. So that didn't mean that the show was fantastic. Yeah. So, you know, and Awake, I'm having a hard time staying awake through. Because I did have, finally, my first fast-forward moment in this last episode, and that was when his wife was speaking interminably at his son's honorary dedication.
And all he heard was wonk, wonk.
And yeah, exactly. I mean, honestly, I sat through that thing and I finally couldn't take it anymore because I'm thinking.
I like the relationship with the son much better than the
yes.
Yes, thank you. And also, I just kept thinking, my God, you know, this is supposed to be. So, you know, biting your fingernails, his son is on the verge of death, and he's trying to get, you know, the information to keep him alive, and suddenly we're in the middle of filler in this episode. We have to watch her giving this interminable speech for his dedication, and it just went on and on and on, and finally I just couldn't stand it anymore, and I hit the remote. Yes, exactly. Screaming to me, and I hit the fast-forward button.
Here are my two observations, and I made one last week. Number one, the mysteries are starting to become really easy. And we're talking castle easy.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yes.
Just in terms.
That's low.
How dare you, sir?
We love you, Nathan.
And the other observation is, it seems the entire emotional heft is about the father and the son.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's curious that you'd think that there would be a stronger bond between him and his wife, mm-hmm. but when she's around, you don't see it, and when she's gone, you don't see it. So I don't know what that's about.
Well, I'm actually finding that, you know, I'm supposed to really care about the, I mean, what's supposed to really connect me is his love for his family, but I'm finding I don't really love his family. I mean, I kind of like the son, but I don't like the wife at all. I feel no emotional connection to her. She's very boring. Yeah, she's deadly
boring.
So
the message here is, don't marry, just procreate.
I don't know if that was what. Let's not get into that territory.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves here.
All right, so let's. Oh, you have one comment, then we got to wrap this one up.
Yeah. Well, and with the parallel storylines, one of the questions I'd asked them back when they showed the pilot at Comic-Con was, most likely, we're either going to find one reality, you know, either the wife's alive and the son's dead, or the reverse reality, or, of course, the third option is that he's the one that's in, like, a coma and stuff like that, and in his coma he's having...
That's my theory, is that he's actually
and
dead.
And at some point in time, you have to, you know, they're going to have to resolve it. But in the meantime, if we take on face the two realities they've given us as one being real and one being fake, and he's sleeping, and during while he's sleeping, he's having these very active dreams. He's not resting, and they actually did say that sometime during the season we're going to start to see the exhaustion, because the wife actually made a point this time of saying, "What were you dreaming about, man? You were like, you know, you were like moving around a lot." So she was noticing he was having an active dream about the sun and stuff like that. So that's going to be an aspect, the exhaustion factor.
Okay.
That might be an interesting part.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, wrap that up.
I still haven't seen past the pilot.
Wrapping that up, so this one was sort of a thumb sideways.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next up, I want to talk about the premiere of the show Missing. Anybody
yes.
else to see
yes,
it?
I saw it.
Okay. I have to say, I made it halfway through the pilot.
Ooh, that good.
Is this Ashley Judd?
Yeah.
Ashley Judd.
And... Ashley Judd and her husband is played by Sean Bean, who gets killed in the first 5 seconds.
Oh,
oh,
oh
yes!
Yep.
Well,
yeah, see,
was
I
he bearded?
I didn't even know that.
No. And he had an American accent, which really threw me off.
Oh, God, I hate Sean Bean's American accent.
It was bad.
But I was like, Sean Bean's in this? And he gets blown up. Seriously.
Not anymore.
That's like Steven Seagal in Executive Decision.
Yeah, well,
that was the best good. Scene ever.
Yeah, but hold up. Let's get back to the story. So you go through that, and then you're like, it's like Ashley Judd, and then you meet her son at first is little when his father gets killed, and then he's an adult. And he's like, I want to go to school in Rome, like right around where his dad was killed or whatever. I don't remember
his
where.
His dad was killed in Vienna, Austria.
Thank you. I didn't remember where he got killed.
But some of us were paying attention to the Vienna. Very vague background.
Right.
One of those places.
Yeah, because it was such green screen. It was bad screen screen. So,
one of those foreign places.
Anyway.
Ashley Judd has a grown son.
So her grown son, I actually liked him.
Don't
he
that
had,
make you feel old?
Yeah. Yeah. Wait. She's in topic, her 40s. Topic. So, the kid actually had a lot of charisma and a lot of presence, and I really liked him. Uh-huh. And so then she figures out he's missing because he hasn't texted her in 2 days. I was like, my son's missing because it's been 2 days and he hasn't called me. And I was like, are you serious?
Yeah.
But she was actually right, but it was weird.
Really right, yes.
She was right, but it's sort of strange. Like
helicopter parenting.
Yeah, I was like, holy crap. But so anyway, she ends up going there. She does this whole Secret Service thing and beats up this guy.
And beats the crap out of him.
She beats the crap out of him. She kills him, actually.
But
what tripped me out is, as I was watching this and I saw, you know, how this was developing, I went, we're probably not going to see the son because he's missing, and we're not going to see them reunited for the length of the show. And I don't know if I like that. Like, it was just kind of
hitting. But you do see him, because you see him at the one point. Don't we see him? Well, maybe we don't see him at the, I thought we saw him. No, you know what? I'm mixing that up with Awake.
Missing sons, right?
Wait a minute. He was tied up in the desert in a shack. No. Wrong show.
This was
in
a warehouse. He got shot and came back to life. Oh, God.
My problem is if this was a movie, I would be like, this would be a pretty good movie because I'd like to see her use her special skills to get her son back. But I was like, if this is like season 3 of this show and she can't find her son, I'm like, no.
When I saw the ad, I thought it was a movie. And then it said series. I was like,
ABC does a lot of these things where it's like the, you know, the 10-episode run. They did that with the one about the island in
Austin. Yes.
Seattle and stuff like that.
But that wasn't intentional.
It was a mini series. Harper's Island.
CBS.
That was CBS. ABC doesn't do the limited.
Well,
limited.
The river is limited.
I think it's a limited run.
Missing is a limited run.
I think it's a limited run.
It is.
I don't think it's a full series.
Yeah, I think it's only 6 episodes.
If it's a limited run, then I can watch it. Because I was like, there's no way.
As long as it has a resolution.
Right.
Yeah.
What was freaky was when she found the pictures and found they had pictures of the kid from behind. You know, I mean, we didn't find out what the purpose was behind that, obviously, because she gets shot off the bridge and, you know, she's sinking in the water and stuff like that. But the fact that they had pictures of the son from way back when, like, the explosion happened and stuff like that. So it's like they've been following around. They had pictures of him with her.
Well, then my suspect is Sean Bean.
That he's alive?
Yes.
If it's limited,
please, Sean Bean, be alive.
Well, I'm just saying, his name is in the credits before guest star, so it says he's starring in it. And his name came up as starring after he was already blown up. So I was kind of like,
maybe that's going to be flashbacks.
Yeah, but...
Or he's not really blown up
because we saw him sitting in the car, then he sends his son... Like, he had the soccer ball in his hand. He was like, I'll carry the soccer ball for you, son. And then they get to the car, and he goes, oh, I left the soccer ball. Go get it. So then the son gets out of the car to go get the soccer ball. The kid's back in the hotel. He hears the explosion. He turns around and he sees it. I was like, he could have got out of that car at any time.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's... So my theory is... If it's that,
I'm banking on fake to zone down.
Like you said, he was not bearded, so he must be evil.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, so let's wrap that one up. I'll go back and give the full pilot another chance now that I know that it's limited. I'll have more patience with it.
Oh, it's because you don't know what I'm talking about with the pictures then.
Yes, I haven't. I literally got about halfway through. So, whatever.
Sorry, I gave you the cliffhanger, too.
Thank you. That's fine. Next up, we're going to talk Vampire Diaries. Woohoo!
TVD.
So, I actually am going to be the negative Nancy on this one, and this is probably the first episode of Vampire Diaries I really didn't particularly like, which is unusual because I'm usually on the Vampire Diaries bandwagon. The only good thing that, the good thing that I most liked about it was the relationship between the brothers how they came back together and united over the fact that, Stefan has to learn moderation and eating of his food, or else he goes off and starts ripping people's heads off, literally. Like, that scene where he ripped the woman's head off and was like, oops, and then tried to, like, put it back on. I was like, once you ripped her head off, I think that's it.
That's what he does. Like, they've shown it before, like, when he was with Klaus, when they were trying to track him down, they would find these dead bodies, like,
without heads.
Loosely pieced back together.
Dismembered.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know what? Little bits of super glue. It reminded me of in Fifth Element when Chris Tucker shoots that monster guy. He's like, you know, hold the gun. If he moves, shoot him. And then he shoots him. He's like, oh, is he going to be okay? I'm sorry. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Like, oh, I put her head back on.
But, I mean, that part I thought was good.
You must be the only person I know who would equate Stefan to Chris Tucker.
I always have Fifth Element on the
head. I was gonna say the brother's relationship and the Damon saying, you know, you're the only thing I have, and that's why I'm gonna help you, and that was actually that felt really heartfelt. And I was like, oh, the brothers are back together. So I felt that. Other than that, I was like, waste of time. But continue, you guys say the good stuff that you.
I actually love it because you start to see the building destruction. I don't know if I would call it destruction, but you start to see the conflicts evolve more with Elena. Her struggling, you know, not just having to trust Stefan and Damon in the past, but not being able to do so anymore. But now with Lark,
yes.
How she used to completely trust him in the past, but now that this thing going on with him in the ring, how she's going to be struggling with that as well. So I think that's a great conflict in the show.
The thing in the ring
was interesting.
I actually thought that was stupid.
See, but Lillian, because you were so sure it was the doctor, and it's like, I knew it wasn't the doctor. I couldn't figure out what it would be. And the thing is that, you know, I would have never thought it was going to be him. But so that was like an interesting twist.
I don't mind the fact that I was wrong. I have no problem with guessing who the serial killer was. My problem is, you have this, they've been using these rings for hundreds of years, and all of a sudden we find out the ring is possessed, and whoever wears the ring now starts to become a serial killer. Really? Are you kidding me?
Hundreds of years, but they said there's only, like, two made. And so there's the only last two
rings. Yeah, but it's been passed down for hundreds of years. Different people have been wearing it over and over again for hundreds of years, and now all of a sudden you're telling me that they're possessed?
But remember, the vampires went away from Mystic Falls for a while. Yeah.
Doesn't count the calls of the ring to not be possessed.
No, but if
you're not wearing it.
But now we're starting to see.
No, but they always wore their rings.
But the thing, it seems to be implying that the more you use the ring,
concept because of Jeremy. Jeremy's actually out there on his own.
With a ring.
The ring.
But it only really affects you if he starts getting killed by supernatural things. So he's only been killed twice? Yeah. I think he's been killed twice.
So how many times has he died?
Yeah. Jeremy has been killed by supernatural forces twice, and one time he got brought back by witchcraft and not the ring.
Yeah. Yes.
So only one time by the ring.
I just hope Jeremy stays on the road and just phones it in.
As opposed to phoning it in while he's on screen.
Yeah. Oh!
That's what she was implying. So, anyway.
I want Jeremy and Bonnie back together.
Oh, that was good.
All I want is Elena and Matt better not get back together.
What was that about?
They were making googly eyes at each other.
I know, but really, what was that about?
Because he's in love with her and because Elena doesn't want to become a vampire, that's probably what's going to happen at the end of the show whenever the show finishes.
I feel like I should read
it. I don't want it to. I want her to be with Damon, but...
Yes.
You know, in real life... in real life, but they're dating, so yes. I'm hoping that that will seep into the show.
But who is dating? Feel that that's the direction they might go.
Nina Dobrev and Ian Somerhalder.
Are you?
Yes.
Really? You didn't know that?
Seriously?
You didn't know that?
They've been together since...
Oh, yeah, you didn't know that!
I did not know that at all.
Where have you been? Hello? Sorry, Olivia, you can't have him.
I'm just like, oh, that explains so much.
So
my thing, my big peeve is when co-stars start dating on shows.
It's never
good. That's never good, and that
really
bothers me.
Well, no, because, I mean, they got married, but they started dating, and then they got married.
Yeah, but
so I don't see
with Vampire Diaries, they actually kept it secret for an entire year.
With True Blood, it destroyed their chemistry. Though they didn't have any chemistry. And they destroyed that too.
Yeah, I think so.
It made their non-chemistry more non.
And you almost made me do a spit take.
Yes!
Wait a second, I'm down.
I stopped myself.
But I love the direction it's going so far.
All right, so and the good thing about Vampire Diaries, if you don't like the plot,
it'll change in a couple episodes.
Exactly. So I'm just like, I'm gritting my teeth through this whole ring thing. And it'll be done in about 3 or 4 episodes, so whatever. All right, let's go on. The last thing we want to talk about, because Marcia has insisted, which is we forgot Grimm last week. And I'm sorry.
We're cheering for Grimm.
Well, I totally was like, we went through the whole list of shows, and we finished the podcast.
I mentioned Grimm, and somebody else hadn't seen it, so you didn't want to talk about it.
We hadn't all seen it. That was the problem.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay, whatever. So we're going to talk about Grimm now. Yay. And it was the one with the dragon tattoo. No, it was a dragon
tattoo. It was a dragon tattoo.
I've had the tattoo before the book and the movie.
Yeah, that's what she said, right. So it's her and her dad, who was all scarred up from something. They didn't really explain that, but they finally put the girlfriend in danger, which we've been waiting for. And instead of her... Well, we all thought they were going to kill her.
Or write her out.
Well, now it looks like she is going to get written out.
Well, maybe not, if you look at preview. I mean, she's going to learn how to fight for herself.
Exactly.
Defend herself. I see her possibly... Well, no, I won't say Cordelia.
She's like the wife on Awake.
Well, she's not that boring.
No,
I don't think she's that boring.
It's not that she's boring. It's that they're not writing her finding out anything.
They're not
servicing
the character.
Hank isn't even finding out anything. Boynton's turned really bad lately. You know, that was a few episodes ago. I thought... Great, he's going to figure it out. He still hasn't figured it out. Come on.
And he's suspicious about where he finds out stuff. And he's like, what makes you think about this leader? What makes you think that or whatever?
He's thinking about it, though.
He kind of just goes,
man, you're just good. You know, that instinct there.
Yeah.
But yeah,
weird stuff is going on with the captain and whatever he is.
Oh, the wife met Monroe. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, the wife,
the wife met Monroe. She's like, he goes, his friend.
I'm
called Monroe.
He hasn't told you anything about me, has he?
Exactly.
But she does seem like she's, like, they might take her in the direction where they'll do something with her, because a couple episodes before, when she saw the truck outside, she took it upon herself to go and kind of investigate
and see where these people are.
She's willing to do it. So she may be able to come to grips with him and what he does, depending on if he's going to fess up to it or not.
Really? And when she's rescued, she helps fight back.
She doesn't scream and threaten, like, oh no, she's like, this guy's here to save me, I'm going to go with it. And she does. Yeah.
As
long as they don't do with her what DC Comics has been doing too many times, it's women in refrigerators.
They cut them up and put them in a refrigerator?
When Kyle Rayner became Green Lantern, Major Force, one of his adversaries, dismembered his girlfriend and stuffed her in the refrigerator.
I was joking.
No. I'm not. There have actually been serious essays written by people complaining, and they call the phenomenon women in refrigerators, but I hope they don't marginalize her to the point of killing her off just to service the plot.
Tom, tell everybody right now what you're wearing as you make that comment. Come on, you can do it.
He is a Green Lantern.
He doesn't want to say it.
He's wearing spandex.
Form fitting.
Do you want to say it?
You don't have to say it because everyone else in the room is already
told all of our listeners what he's wearing. what I see as a potential for Grimm is at last they're talking more about backstory of the family. They mentioned that a Grimm just got murdered in Europe. Previously, they talked about some families.
Who killed his father? Right. Yeah, who killed the parents?
Yes, they're talking about that. They're also talking about how there are other families similar to the Grimms in other countries. Mm-hmm. Like for the Black Widow, they talked about in Japan. They're starting to work on the mythology. The interview that I had, they're talking second season. Super deep mythology.
Yay.
Of the Grimms.
Yay.
Yeah, which is another
second reason. Season. Got yes. Got
yeah, second season. Down. That's always where they tell you all the good stuff.
Yes.
I see plot holes, but overall I see potential, and the potential keeps growing. As long as they don't do another episode like the Pied Piper, we are fine. And
yes.
Pied Piper was ridiculous. It was, but you know there always has to be one crappy one. Let that be the only one this year. So I give it a thumbs up. I was very pleased with it overall. The idea of the dragon,
yeah,
that it's actually, it's a war vet who, he is a type of a dragon, and his family are types of dragons, but he has PSD.
PTSD.
PTSD.
She forgot a couple letters.
And we don't know if it's from the war since he was in the military, or if it was from when his wife was killed. Because remember, the girl kidnapped him so that her dad could reenact the fighting.
The myth.
Right, the myth, but hoping that he would be killed by.
So he would die well.
Yes.
So he would die. Yeah, yeah.
So, and which it all worked out fine.
And
so
the fact that the girl lived, because at the very end, I'm so glad she's out of our life. And of course, you see her walking out. I'm like,
you see
the
psycho.
We have another firefight in our
hands. Well, that makes two that have come that might potentially come back too.
Yeah.
That have gone away.
And who was the other one? Who was the other one?
What's her name? The other werewolf.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
all
right.
The one who killed all
the
things.
The last thing I'll throw out there is that they talked again about the Reapers. That are killing
Grimms.
Right?
Yeah.
Killing Grimms and those like Grimms. So here we have the police captain who is protecting him from the Grimm,
from the Reapers.
However, there are going to be more Reapers, and things are going on in other countries.
There's politics within all of these various creatures and stuff like that. Because the captain seems to be on top of whatever hierarchy exists.
But in this, either in the town or in the state. But I will leave it with this. Did anyone feel a Lorne karaoke moment at any time during this show?
No.
During when she was doing the fire dance and the music and
right.
everything. And
yeah.
The
I
idea
didn't
that
feel
there, were there were humans there and there were monsters.
No one was singing.
No, but they were humans and monsters
in
the same
humans
place.
And monsters. Oh, yeah, yeah. And her performance, when she was doing the fire dance. Yeah.
Humans and
That's
monsters
cool.
living together.
Mass hysteria!
No!
Thank you.
No.
All right, wrap that one up. We're wrapping that up. And so, Grimm, you guys are saying
thumbs up.
All right. Next, we're going to talk about WonderCon. Suzanne.
I am Suzanne, yes.
I stuttered over your name for some reason. She has an opening comment. Let's go. Let's hear what you got to say.
Let me see. I don't know. I've never been to WonderCon before, but I found it very interesting to have a science fiction fantasy convention on St. Patrick's Day. Because you have never seen more Green Lanterns.
We have one in the room with us.
And then leprechauns.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
And leprechauns. There
yeah.
were leprechauns. Many leprechauns.
My favorite
con.
Was the Wookiee.
The Wookiee.
The
Wookiee.
Oh,
the
Wookiee
with green fur.
Oh, wow.
I got my picture taken. I gave him the Irish cream Rice Krispies.
I did see just a little off the St. Patrick's Day con. I did see a little boy, probably about 3 years old, dressed up as Tintin.
Aww.
Red hair, stuffed animal in the backpack, and a little magnifying glass. So adorable.
Oh my God. I also like the feel of the convention. The fact that you can walk through the halls.
Right.
It's
much smaller.
There's enough in the exhibit hall to go see and spend hours and hours. I mean, I've done. Every artist, I've gone and talked to just about every artist and artist alley. It took us 2 days to do it, but it was a blast. But you've got room for it. And the halls, I can get in and out of the ballroom.
Right.
Except for the big time, like when Prometheus was on, I'm glad I had my little return coupon. But
right.
other than that one, you know, it's like, it's kind of nice having a convention that's big like Comic-Con, but small enough the way it was 15 years ago.
Exactly.
The freebies are kind of low, but I did see a really cool...
I can
cool,
live without those, though.
I did see a really cool Hello Kitty bag.
Okay.
That
I've,
I
got
must
lenticular, I've got my lenticular Prometheus and lenticular Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter posters. They're cool.
Nice.
Yes.
When I walked in, they were giving out Battleship.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
Which I then told them I did not want.
I got a Spider-Man t-shirt.
All right. So a Spider-Man t-shirt?
There was. When I walked outside,
I saw,
yeah, they were giving away
the
Spider-Man.
Out, stood up and started hollering out, does anyone like Spider-Man? I was like, I'm here, I do. Seconds later, it was swarmed.
All right. Next, I would like to give the floor to Malik, who has never been to a single sci-fi con versus convention.
He came,
con virgin.
He came dressed in a jacket and a button-down shirt.
Yes.
He's adorable.
He's dressed as a normal.
So let's hear what
he's a muggle.
Says.
He's a muggle.
Looks like a member of the Secret Service.
What is this suit of which you speak?
What'd you think? Go ahead, speak.
It was interesting.
But the cheerleader convention was more interesting, right?
And the volleyball players?
Oh, yeah, there are volleyball players and cheerleaders at this convention.
That was really weird.
They're not at the convention. They're in the same space, using their own halls, doing their own competitions.
Why do they make the female volleyball players wear those short shorts like that?
I mean, what about the thoughts about this con?
So that the creepy geek guys in the convention next door have something to stare at. As opposed to other geek girls.
Wait, he's speaking.
While we're talking about costumes, that was probably one of the most interesting elements of the convention is the costumes. Did anybody see Optimus?
Yes.
With the breakaway legs.
Yeah. That was
and
really
there was a
cool.
Bumblebee in an Ironhide, I think.
There was also a big bird. That was it.
Yes. And there's a guy with an Iron Man costume, and he's able to pop without touching it. His mask pops open, and then he pops closed again.
Ooh,
wow.
Nice.
So the costumes are interesting.
Here's what I'm curious about. So I understand the people who are dressed as stormtroopers and things like that. The women who are dressed hardly at all.
That's the anime girls.
Are they actual fans? Or are they like recruited?
No, those are fans.
Okay. So they're fans like everyone else.
The only time they're not is if they happen to be working in a booth where they're
doing science. If they're usually working
in
a...
And then they're like one of the models.
And they're dressed as professional attire.
Not at a convention like this. At Comic-Con, you'll get that. At WonderCon, you don't really get...
No, these are all fans. Everyone in costumes.
At a video game convention, you will see the women working there wearing less, but they're actually they're hired to wear less.
Yeah, I saw one of those, too. She was wearing paint.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Was that the white paint?
That's traditionally more a video game convention.
All right, well, then I salute those fans.
He likes the anime.
Well said, sir. Well said.
The superhero girls.
I actually was most interested in the panels and discussions. That's kind of why I was interested in coming. I was pleased with the first one. So here's the thing. I didn't know enough to know what to expect, so that was good about the first panel I went to, not so good about the later ones that I decided not to stand in line for. So the first one I went to, it was about writing and rewriting. They had writers who wrote about history, present day, future day. And it turned out that two of the writers I was already familiar with, and as they were asked questions and answered them, I was like, oh, you're the dragon lady who wrote in Napoleonic Times. I read your stuff. So that was really cool. I enjoyed that. Went to another one that was, I actually left while it was still going on because it was just not that interesting. And then I didn't follow the rules, I guess, about how early you needed to get up to the third floor.
Yeah.
So when I tried to get up to the third floor, it was ridiculous. And I didn't actually know what was in the room. I just knew that I didn't want to wait in line to see what was in the room. So,
however, I will tell you, those lines went pretty fast.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
We only took an hour to get in.
Yeah.
At Comic-Con, it's 6 hours.
At Comic-Con, it can be all day to get in.
Yeah, you sleep over at night the night before a lot of times to get into the bigger hall.
You make choices.
Yes.
Yeah, and
well, he chose not to go.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
One thing I was, so I was personally disappointed, but it might just be me. I was curious. I was asking Josh about this earlier. Do people socialize with people you don't already know here?
Oh, yeah.
So some people say yes. Selena, some people
shaking her head.
I want you to know, Selena doesn't socialize with anybody. So that's a different thing.
I started talking to the people in line with me.
Yeah, like, that's awesome. One of the best things of your line buddies.
So,
if I had waited in line, I might have talked to you for an hour.
No, but I'm saying it's different. In line is different because then you're standing with someone for an extended period of time. You eventually say something. But if it's just a group of people like standing off in a corner, you can't just go and join the conversation.
Yes, you can.
You can walk up and like if you see somebody. I got in the elevator today, and there was a lady wearing a T-shirt that was the TARDIS inside of the Stargate.
Oh!
I love the shirt. She goes, I know, I saw it. I had to have it. You know, so you
instant
start conversation.
Yeah.
About,
yes.
What booth did you get it at? I mean, did they get it here? What booth did they get it at? And you start talking about. Well, you like the shows. You like both the shows. What do you think about it? You see people in awesome costumes, and you're like, how on earth did you make that? Or what a great spin. I can't believe you put, this guy has a leg brace that he needs to wear.
And he steampunked it out.
It was so
sometimes
cool.
Celebrities talk with us.
So the moral of the story is you have to have targeted discussions. You don't just walk up and say, hey, I'm Malik.
Why not?
It did not seem to be that kind of environment.
But, you know, costumes and T-shirts provide icebreakers.
Right.
And that gets you in.
The thing is, a lot of the con is activity that people are going to get for or planning to go to get for. So a lot of people may be on their way somewhere. And so
people are moving from point A to point B.
Yeah. But when you're in line, your line buddies, some of those are the best conversations that you're going to have.
Or the people you're sitting with when you're in one of the big
So that would be part of the reason because I didn't stand in line.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't need
the
anybody.
True con experience.
when I went to have lunch, I was just sitting there and a couple sat down next to me and we started a conversation about my camera. They liked my camera, and ended up with the conversation about cameras.
Yeah,
other moral of the story is I should have worn a Green Lantern spandex outfit.
That's an instant conversation starter.
Yeah.
Right
okay.
But we're wrapping that up, so that is your con. If you've never been to a con, you should go.
Yes.
I think you should go. And then
you should talk to people.
Stand in line.
Except I will recommend don't wear the suit. Okay, yes. Not with the jacket.
Yeah, because
okay. You know what?
They think you're security.
That's what I'm saying.
Unless it's a Doctor Who jacket.
I completely disagree. Malik, I think you look gorgeous. And I will not say another
good
word against
Lord,
it. No, I will take anyone to the mat who says anything against the way Millie's dressed. So there.
Okay.
It's a great suit.
That's
I'm just
okay.
saying it could use a fez.
There's actually a booth selling fezes.
Of course. All right, we're going to wrap that up. We're going to start talking about the subject. Please, on the timer, because this podcast is getting way too long, so let's just go. We actually have the people who were part of the panel, or ran the panel for the OneRing.net, so...
Which was the first panel of the weekend.
Woo! A full house.
We filled the room.
Yes. Woo! And we announced the new casting, but we announced our Oscar party for next year, February 24th, because we're having an Oscar party.
Save the date. You don't want to miss this. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And we're doing an art show, and we announced that as well, that we're doing an art show, and so...
We
spent the rest of the weekend recruiting artists.
We had a nice heated discussion about where we think the two movies are gonna break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you mean break?
Like they're gonna make two movies.
Where in the story they're gonna break?
Yeah, where in the story? Yeah.
I think at the end of the barrel situation.
Let's not get into that.
You can read the wrap up on theOneRing.net.
Yeah.
You can read the wrap up. On
nice plug.
Or if you listen to SiriusXM 104 WonderCon Radio, they've been replaying our panel all weekend long.
Oh,
also,
woo!
Nice plug.
Woo!
All right. So it was a good panel. You guys had a full house.
Great panel.
Lots of great shows.
All right. The next thing we want to talk about is some of the movie panels that this will be a first. We usually don't talk movies here, but since it's WonderCon and all they did today was movies. That's I am forced to stoop to the
ballroom is their version of Hall H.
Yes. So the first thing is they showed Prometheus trailer. I was not there. What'd you guys think?
Oh, awesome.
You guys are going to see Prometheus.
I was going to see Prometheus before this
Michael
trailer.
Fassbender, yeah. Charlize Theron,
Idris Elba.
Yeah. Yes.
Charlize.
But you know what you're forgetting? Ridley freaking Scott.
Sir Ridley Scott.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my god.
All right. It was.
So,
and Damon Lindelof is the writer.
So, Spill, is this an alien prequel?
Yes.
They are staying away from that word.
But it sure looks like it.
Everything in the trailer. We got a card from the Weyland.
Yeah, considering that they have Weyland Industries and they've got Guy Pearce playing Weyland giving a TED Talk. I mean, come on.
Nice. That's on the web if you want to see that. They have that on the web.
Awesome. The whole TED Talk?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, the next thing is, the next movie is Abraham Lincoln.
What? Vampire Hunter. Okay, here's the story.
Did I miss that in history?
Exactly.
the guy that wrote the book and the screenplay also wrote Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. While he was doing the book tour, I guess at the time there was an Abraham Lincoln biography was out, and so you'd see that in the windows of bookstores, and you'd see the Twilight books in the windows. And he kept going, Abraham Lincoln... and Twilight, vampires. Huh? If there was a way to put these together, and that was literally where he got the idea to put together Abraham Lincoln fights vampires and saves the country.
It really is two great tastes that taste great together.
And the trailer, they showed
but
the trailer.
But he really also, what he wanted to emphasize was he really put a lot of research into this. So there's still a lot of
actual
historical
history accuracy
besides the crazy
vampires. Well, I mean, just looking at the latest trailer, it looks like the Confederacy was actually like a front to create a new nation of vampires.
But they showed this great extended fight sequence on a train
that rocks.
It really rocks.
That alone was so.
So I gotta see that trailer.
Absolutely. Yeah,
yes,
it looks awesome.
The King of the Vampires is played by Rufus Sewell.
He looked hot.
He was amazing.
Sewell.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And very important, Alan Tudyk's in it.
And he's gonna die,
he's
right?
He's gonna die.
Well, if he's a vampire, sure.
All right, keep the train going.
The next thing I want to talk about is there's a trailer for a movie I had never heard of, and I was literally sitting surfing the web in a room waiting for the panel I wanted, and they put the trailer up, and I was like, what the heck is this? And I looked at it, and I was like, what the heck is this? And I was like, wait, what is this? Okay.
What was it?
The name of the movie is called Looper.
Awesome movie.
Yes.
And that trailer looked amazing.
Yes.
I had never heard of this movie at all.
I think
I've
heard of something of it.
I hadn't heard about it at
directed
all.
Directed and written.
And it looks great. Basically, it's they find out the time travel is possible in 30 years. And this one guy gets a job, and his job is basically he stands in a cornfield.
This one guy in our current day gets a job.
The guy in the current day gets a job where he stands in a cornfield at an appointed time. They give him a note, tell him what time to be there. Somebody drops in with a bag over their head, and his job is just to kill them.
From
the future. Somebody drops in from the future with a bag over their head. He kills them, gets rid of the body. That's his job. He gets paid really well, and he lives really great in current day.
So he doesn't have access to time control or whatever.
Right, so he doesn't
He's
really,
just a recipient.
Yeah, he just gets the body, he just does his job, and boom, he gets a lot of money. The twist is, this guy drops in with his back turned to him, and he doesn't have a hood over his head because everybody else has got a hood, turns around and it's Bruce Willis. And
Bruce Willis.
And he realizes Bruce Willis kind of just looks at he looks at him. He's like he looks familiar. Bruce Willis looks at him and goes, "Holy crap!" And Bruce Willis is him in the future.
Oh.
So they sent his future self back for him to kill him.
Queen.
And it was just like they both look at each other, and he's like, "You look familiar." And Bruce Willis knows what's about to happen because he's him.
Yeah.
So he turns. He was prepared for it. So he has like this armor plating on his back, and he turns his back. Just in time to take the bullet, and then he gets out of there. And
I don't think
now,
it's armor plating. I think it was some kind of device.
Some kind of device, whatever. But anyway, he knows what's about to happen, and so Bruce Willis is basically running from his life from his younger self. Yeah.
And it's against the law to let anyone escape.
Right. So now the younger version of himself is in trouble for letting his older self get away.
Now,
so
did
it's
you
just
mention?
Like this whole like it's like whoa, you've just blown my mind. You know?
That's cool.
Okay. And Ryan Johnson, he
actually wrote Breaking Bad.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's really, it cool. looked really good.
Did you right. mention who was I'm playing down. The younger self?
No. I forgot his name. No.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Thank really?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
He was yes. in the
Wow. Okay, I'm in. I'm in.
He was
well, no.
Yeah,
but what
like,
they
wait,
did.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt grows up to be Bruce
wait,
Willis.
Wait. They spend 3 hours every day putting on makeup on him so that to make him look like a young Bruce Willis.
Whoa.
He studied Bruce Willis's films. He wanted something more current. He didn't go back to Moonlighting days, but he wanted something more current to study his moves and his voice.
And he said he would just walk around listening to Bruce Willis.
Sound like Bruce.
Right. He would just listen. He would strip the movies and just listen to his voice on his Walkman or what am I talking about? Excuse me, his
Walkman.
Sorry.
It's a time travel.
He was so believable that his mother and his best friend
came
were
to set,
completely freaked out.
Came to set and didn't want to have anything to do with him.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of, just off topic a little bit, but speaking of actors playing younger versions of older actors, Josh Brolin in is his version of Tommy Lee Jones not scary?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Very cool. All
right, so. Look out for loopers. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. I'm down.
It's September, I think.
Yeah. Snow White.
And the Huntsman.
Looks
awesome.
Chris Hemsworth.
Wow.
We missed it. It was before we got in the room. We didn't get in the room in time.
Aww. Chris Hemsworth was not here.
Aww.
Aww. Charlize Theron was, thank God.
Yes.
And Kristen Stewart was, and the...
In body, but not in mind.
No. Oh!
Really?
What happened?
Wow! She's a bit of an empty shell.
Yeah. Well, the thing is,
what?
Have you heard the phrase
"lights on"? You've seen one Twilight movie to know that.
One at a time.
The thing is, on the panel, Kristen Stewart couldn't formulate a full sentence ever.
Wow.
And the audience members that were sitting around us were just deriding her bit after bit, and it was bad. It was bad.
So the trailer
is gorgeous.
The trailer was awesome. I mean, the Evil Queen, holy...
Charlize is amazing.
She is.
You know how in every iteration of Snow White, the Evil Queen is usually ugly in some evil way? Charlize is not.
Right.
Yeah.
So she really is
who's
the fairest of them all.
She
really is.
Yeah.
And there's a...
And she's absolutely terrifying. She owns the screen.
Yes, she does.
Absolutely.
The storyline that you could see in the trailer, can I talk about that?
Yeah. Real quick.
The huntsman, Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, yeah.
Thor!
His
that's,
name
that's just going to be his full name now, Chris Hemsworth.
Oh. He is the guy that's sent after Snow White to cut her heart out. And obviously he doesn't. But to pay tribute to the new title that it has, he actually accompanies Snow White to meet the dwarves.
He wants to know why. The
shorter
wants
film.
Yeah.
If he cut off
shorter film, if he cut her heart out.
Right.
They've taken full size actors and miniaturized them in computer ways.
Kind of the way they did with the Hobbit.
I was like, when you said that, though, I was like, wait, what?
We have that technology now. Haven't you been keeping up with science?
No. They're not just smaller. They're not skinny hobbits like Elijah Wood. They're short and fat.
Okay.
Because Simon Pegg.
And
Nick Frost are two of them.
Of course.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's
Bob Hoskins.
Cool.
Yeah.
All
right.
And they look
like
dwarves. All
right.
It looks like a fantastic movie, and despite the fact that Kristen Stewart is in it, I want to see it.
Kristen Stewart is good in it.
Yeah,
she is.
She's doing a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Next, really quick, Spider-Man. One of you wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, Spider-Man looks great, and I will say actually because I was not looking forward to this.
Neither was I.
Absolutely no reason for Spider-Man to be rebooted, and so I was thinking, why are they doing this?
I was angry about it.
I thought I am not going to go see this movie. I can't be persuaded to. And then I saw the trailer and the extended scenes that they showed for this. And I have to say, it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Not only does it just look visually amazing, but it looks like they actually put real thought into this. They put real thought into the story, into the characters.
Like deriving from the comic books.
Yeah.
Seriously, they took this truly to heart, and they really paid attention to the characters, the story, the history. They didn't just throw this together like, we want to make money.
Emily Blunt, is that right?
No, Emma Stone.
Emma Stone, sorry. Emma Stone does not look like a teenager, yet she's playing one.
Mm-hmm.
But just get over it because it's okay. I'm just saying that because we saw bits where she's supposed to be, you know, 16, 17 years old, and it doesn't work for me. But the interaction between the two of them was really nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And Garfield's good.
Garfield.
Andrew Garfield.
Oh, you know, the
Spider-Man.
Oh, and the villain is the lizard.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
finally.
really spent good amount of time on the lizard backstory and why he's doing what he's doing.
Okay.
Yes. From what we could see in the trailer.
Yeah.
All right. So, so wrapping that up. Last thing. Well, there's two more things. But the almost last thing we have to talk about is Geeks and Sundry. So, Geeks and Sundry, who went to that panel? A bunch of us did.
Yeah,
a
bunch of us did.
I saw the trailer. I didn't go to the panel, though.
What? Oh, yeah. I was like, okay, I understand. Because at first I was like, you saw the trailer for the panel? But no. Okay.
No, Geeks and Sundry.
Yes, I understand now. Yeah. Like, my brain didn't check.
It's now been released. At the time that the panel started, her staff actually released the trailer online.
Right.
On YouTube, on their website, everywhere, so people could also see it. This is Felicia Day being a businesswoman, being what we all want our people to be. It's a series of web series that are being put together.
Now, is it like a channel she's doing?
Yes, it's an actual channel.
It's a YouTube channel.
Okay,
And she's treating it like it's a channel. Like, you on Tuesday is this new show, on Wednesday is this new show.
Yeah, she's got real good programming.
Yes.
The Will Wheaton show looks amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tabletop,
Yeah, that looks great. Like,
I'm really looking forward to Sword and Laser.
Oh, yeah, Sword and Laser.
It's kind of like they're going to review books, and one week it's going to be a fantasy book, and next week it's going to be a sci-fi book.
Okay.
So people are in... People are into either one or the other genre, they can listen to reviews of the other genre to get into books.
Right,
cool.
Right, and one of the things they also have, she's gotten together with Dark Horse.
And they're doing the motion graphics.
Yeah.
So I picked up a comment made by the person from Dark Horse, something about these are better motion comics. So I wonder if they heard what most of us said about the others.
The Buffy one?
Yeah. They didn't like that either. But these are ones that are actually being done by them, whereas the Buffy motion comics were not done by them. They were done by Fox. They didn't like them.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, you said you had to wrap that up. There was only... there's Felicia Day one.
Felicia Day
have one coming up called Learning Time.
Learning Time. That's great. The great thing is they basically get a bunch of kindergartners and have them. They say, tell us a story.
I love that.
And so the kindergartners basically make up a story
written by kids.
And so then they take they break down the story and they give it to a professional director and say, make their movie.
I love it.
And also, what Felicia's doing, she started out telling that she's going to be doing unusual things. Like, she's going to learn how to do odd things and videotape it.
Like blacksmithing.
And
just crazy stuff. Yeah, just crazy stuff.
Like
that's
Morgan Spurlock show.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It's called The Flog.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see
it. And what channel is this on?
It's just on YouTube. Her YouTube.
Yeah, so what was her YouTube channel?
Geek and Sundry.
So it's youtube.com/ Geek and Sundry.
Yes.
And so everyone subscribe now.
Yes. Subscribe. So
it
that's how she's
April 2nd.
That's how she's going to get her money. All right, let's wrap that up. You had one thing about Defiance, right? Or no?
Defiance?
The only thing I was going to say is I went to the Battlestar So Say We All panel, and one of the things that they talked about, a new series that's going to be coming on Sci-Fi Channel is called Defiance.
Next year,
because they're going to start filming, I think, in April. But what's going to be interesting about this series is it's a game as well as a series. So there's going to be crossover. You know, they're going to see what they're going to do between a series and a game and how they can cross that over.
Interesting.
And it's basically going to be aliens and humans, but sort of like in a Western setting. So they're saying, like, is it the next Firefly? Just because it's a similar type of universe.
Yeah. All right.
But it's from some of the Battlestar writers.
Okay. Yes. That could be good. I mean, it's a sci-fi show, so I'm going to watch
it. Yeah.
All right, so that's it. We're done with the podcast.
Yay!
One more
dance
call.
All
right. Live long and party.
And if you need to send us feedback, tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We're on Facebook. GetThePointRadio.com, KryptonRadio.com, and Stitcher.com. Bye-bye!